Chapter 1. Meet Maria, a woman of prayer. Burnout. Meet Maria, all 3 1/2 feet of her. She is small in physical stature, deformed in appearance, but imposing in her spiritual stature. We first met Maria in October of 1997. Maria lives in Romania. I was just coming through one of the most difficult times in my personal life. Issues had knocked the spiritual wind right out of me. I had heard pastors and other Christian leaders speak about spiritual burnout, but tended to downplay it as something that could never happen to mature Christians. Then, bam, I was smack dab in the middle of a spiritual and emotional pit. I had lost my passion, and my feelings were frayed. I was just going through the motions, and those closest to me knew it. Dr. Richard Swenson, the doctor who wrote the book Margin, just happened to be coming to Wayside Chapel, our home church of which I was senior pastor for 34 years, on my last weekend before a 2-month sabbatical. We, along with the local chapter of the Christian Medical Dental Society, hosted the good doctor for a weekend seminar. He spoke about burnout. All at once, the lights came on, and I realized that was me. I was in a pit. How could I get out? I considered dropping out of the race. Thoughts of getting out of the ministry were running relentlessly through my mind. I felt that God had removed his hand of blessing. I was washed up. It was time to hang up my running shoes and do something else. I remember a funeral that I was conducting at the time. I was so distracted in my thoughts that I committed what seemed to be the unpardonable sin. Pastors almost always are to follow the lead car to the cemetery, followed by the hearse and the family and the rest of the entourage. We were on a local freeway in the far right-hand lane going about 35 miles per hour and about halfway to the cemetery when the thought came to me, why is this car in front of me going so slow? I stepped on the accelerator, moved into the middle lane, and proceeded to go around the lead car. As I came up parallel to the lead car, my wife brought me back to reality. She exclaimed, "Dear," always our term of endearment to each other, "what are you doing?" I looked to my right to see the funeral director looking at me with perhaps similar sentiments. "Man, what are you doing?" I braked and slipped back into line. Remember the Southwest Airline commercials where someone did something stupid like that? The commercials always ended with the line, "Do you want to get away?" Well, that was me. I knew that it was time for me to get away. God directed my thoughts to Psalm 40:1-3, which I had memorized many years ago. It reads, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord." Psalm 40:1-3. I began to cry out daily for deliverance and a new song to be put in my mouth. They were slow in coming. As we neared the latter half of our 2-month sabbatical, we spent a month with our younger daughter and son-in-law, Kelly and Don Johnson, who were living on the eastern side of Italy for 18 months. Don's business at the time had taken him there. There was a memorable moment for me when we were standing on a mountaintop outside of Ascoli Piceno, looking down at several different shepherds tending their flocks of sheep grazing on the hillsides. Something clicked inside of me. It was quiet. All we could hear was the blowing of the wind. This was the life of David. He had plenty of time to contemplate, to meditate, and to commune with God. No wonder so many of these great psalms came from the pen of this ready writer. My world had become too noisy, too busy, and too crowded. I was allowing all of these distractions to keep me from communicating with the Creator, and I was running out of time. I had to make a decision. My daughter asked me one day, "Dad, are you ready to start preaching again?" I remember my answer to her, "I'm not sure." You see, there was one small problem. We were scheduled to leave Italy, go on to Switzerland by train, link up with our missionary friends Mike and Kathy, and then travel by car all the way across Austria, Hungary, and Transylvania to the city of Bucharest. I was scheduled to be the keynote speaker for the Baptist Association of Pastors and Missionaries in Romania. There were to be 1,200 in attendance. It was almost panic time. What could I say? Could I really be honest? Would I just go through the motions? Nobody there really knows me, but those men have suffered much for their faith under communism. I have suffered nothing for my faith. What in this world do I have to offer them? Scattered and fearful thoughts ran through my mind. Meeting Maria. And then little Maria entered our lives. From Bucharest, we had taken a 3-hour train ride farther east and south to the city of Brăila. We were staying at the home of Pastor Joseph and Mia Stefanuts. We had a long-term relationship with them, and Wayside Chapel funded the construction of a new church building that was state-of-the-art for the time and place. This little lady, Maria, stayed in the shadows, blending into the woodwork of the pastor's home. She was quietly serving in the kitchen, preparing delicious meals for us. I was intrigued by her size and her demeanor. I wanted to meet her. So Pastor Joseph had her come out. He introduced her as Mia's aunt. As she stood next to us with her chin nearly resting on the table, we communicated with her through Pastor Joseph's translation. She began to pour out her heart to us. Tears filled her eyes as she spoke of her love for the Lord Jesus and her passion for all of Eastern Europe. She was 75 years of age at the time. She had lived under communism all of her adult years. But her concern now was that with all of the newfound freedom, people would no longer see their need for God. They would throw their lives into materialism. I will never forget what she said that day. She said, "I want to live as long as I can so I can pray for the people of Eastern Europe. I live to pray. When I heard that you were coming to visit us, I began to pray for you. I am praying for you every day, and I will pray for you every day for the rest of my life. I will be praying for you as you go and speak at the conference." This moment was a turning point for me. I knew that I had a prayer warrior by my side for the rest of her life. Where would I be without Maria? I shudder to think where. I will tell you later what happened at the conference. Our last meeting with Maria. In October of 2006, we conducted a pastor's wife seminar in Brăila. Little Maria rode on a train all night, over 12 hours, to be there, mainly just to see us again, but also to be with her extended family. She was a breath of fresh air, a sweet aroma, a life-giving perfume. In the process of our reunion, she confided that she had never missed a day of praying for us since 1997. She also disclosed that she visits 2 or 3 families in her village every day just to encourage them. "I dread the day that God takes Maria home. I am fearful of a power failure in our lives." She is now 87 years old and still running the race. What is her secret? It is her intimacy with the Lord, no doubt about it. She lives to pray and to love her Lord and others. Our lives will never be the same because God brought Maria across our path when we most needed her. Peter Dynica, a Russian immigrant of many years ago, stayed in our home when I was a teenager. I remember his phrase, "Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power." Maria understood it. I am beginning to understand it. Prayer has been my Achilles heel, yet prayer is our lifeline. It is our oxygen. Trying to live without prayer is like trying to live without oxygen. It cannot be done. I felt like I was at the 20th mile of my marathon, the time when runners hit the wall. I am not speaking from experience. I have never run in a marathon. You do remember why. I liked running fast, but not far. I was at a wall. My spiritual legs were crying out, "Enough already!" My spiritual lungs were depleted. My mind was playing games with me. It kept telling me that I could not go on. The race was over for me. I was running up my last hill. And then when I came up over the hill, there was little Maria, like an oasis in my spiritual desert, offering me a cup of water, a spiritual nutrition bar, and some hearty words of encouragement. "You can do it because you have me praying for you." As you go about your daily life, and when you get discouraged by your circumstances, think of Maria. She lives to pray, and she wants to live as long as she can so she can pray for others. She knows the secret to victorious living. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray always, give thanks always. That's Maria. I am glad that you had a chance to meet her. Thanks, Maria, for allowing God to use you in our lives. Oh, dear God, they fell asleep. What more need Scripture say? These, his very closest friends, were asked to watch and pray. As wretched clouds of death and doom their ugly shadows cast, the next great act of God's great love would yet now come to pass. But these his loved ones fell asleep, devoid of spiritual power. They heard the master whisper, "Could you not watch 1 hour?" But do we have a stone to throw? What have we to say? Would we in twilight's garden scene been more alert than they? Do not, like Peter, James, and John, we often fail to see the depth of Jesus' call to prayer. Oh God, how can that be? Dear Jesus, as we by your side walk from day to day, this one cry we plead with thee, teach us how to pray.